I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Enna drama.
You know what, people?
My God. Can I just drink some Barney or something?
Is this podcast recording? Is this going to go out? Is this actually happening?
No one knows.
To be fair, this might be the first drama. One that comes out with just the video.
Oh, what,
and distant sound.
Like Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe the first.
Just us lot without
silent.
So basically, right. So firstly, this is our
first pod.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to start with where we are. Right, it's our first podcast altogether of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely to see you boys.
Yeah, good to see you.
Honestly, it feels like it's been bloody ages. It really is. Generally, love you boys. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Get that bit out of the way. And I'm rushing that bit, which I wasn't planning on rushing.
Mm.
I was going to indulge on that. Mm. But we're also in a brand new restaurant. It's called Bahara. And it's in Bahara. Have you been singing that?
Oh, non-stop. Because it's from I love the film. I hate love stories. Sona Mahapadra sings
part of that song in English?
No.
Okay.
We used to play that a lot on the podcast.
You know why? On the podcast. You mean on the radio show?
No, because
it was Sony Music song.
But also, it was a mellow one. It was a good one for early mornings.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're in a restaurant called Bahara. It's on Brick Lane in East London, and it's actually owned by good friends of ours, who are also the people behind Grace Entertainment.
Yes,
and Grace Entertainment are the people behind the Rewind tour that I get to host with, which we did with Kumara Sanu, Udit Narayan, and now next in 10 days' time or so, the Queens are coming. Yeah, you know, Alka Yagnik and all those
guys, the ladies, right?
Which I'm hosting that one as well. We're all going to go, and yes. There will be a video. By the time this podcast comes out, there'll be a video of a little competition as to how you can win tickets. So if you are listening to this podcast,
It's already there.
Okay, right. Oh, I like that.
He's in the future.
Because you're talking from the future.
Because you're going to hear this on Thursday.
Yeah, I know. So
means
for
it's
now,
out there.
Now it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, but unless something... I always feel like Nazar Nalak, Jimmy.
What if something happens?
And can I be honest? Something happened just before the podcast started.
We were
right?
just going to hit record.
Seconds.
I was filming... doing a little selfie video going, woo, new restaurant, woo, new podcast, new year, new stuff. Oh, by the way, it's Lordy as well. Happy Lordy.
Yep.
Right? Mm. And I was going, woo. And then, because I'm looking at the selfie of myself on the video, I hear you guys go, woo. And I'm going, yeah, woo. I thought, oh, wow, these boys have really got into the woo.
We were vibing.
And then as I look around off my shoulder, you weren't wooing at my woo.
No.
I was wooing at Bahara and Lordy and New Year and us. You wooed Wysatch. Well, not woo, you were like,
Well, a whole glass of water just went over my laptop.
And it was you that knocked it over, Satch.
It was.
Yeah. Which is so not like you.
Which is so not like
Satch. I tell you what's not like me. That's a kedge maneuver.
Do you know what it is? I never put drinks near my laptop, ever. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why that was there. Do you know what I mean? I just don't do that.
You knocked it over. And I'm talking about not just a little bit of Barney going over the laptop.
It was a lot.
It was a proper dull.
It was quite a...
Half the keyboard was soaked.
Yeah, Noah's Ark would have been proud to have had that over.
Right. Your Mac was wet, a bit like how your keyboard gets wet sometimes, doesn't it?
Of course.
Yeah, it just gets covered.
It does get covered, but
you've got special splash-proof stuff.
I've got a splash-proof
Apple Mac cover. He's prepared for it. Yep. But hold on a minute. Isn't this your MacBook?
I mean, the Macs are supposed to get wet. But this was the wrong kind of Mac.
Oh, no, very good.
Yeah, yeah,
now
yeah.
Look at just, that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Apple, return of the Mac. But the Mac never returned.
No, it hasn't.
It didn't return.
So
it's off at the moment.
It's off. Satch took it to the toilet in the restaurant and put it under the hand dryers.
Yeah, didn't help.
That didn't help. And now it's just drying. I'm looking at it now. It looks a bit... We're in Bihar and the MacBook looks bichara. Over there, it looks bichara MacBook. So, but is that essential for your DJing work?
No, because he's got another one.
He's got another one.
Oh, right, you got two Macs.
This was essential for the podcast.
This is essential for this.
You got a backup Mac up?
No, I just have two different ones.
Oh, so what's of like all a burner the same phone. Stuff?
No, that one's just for DJing.
This is more editing
for work.
This,
Oh my god! You know what? You're so thorough. But I'm really sorry. But you know when
I'm annoyed.
He's annoyed.
Well, what's funny is you went. It is what it is, isn't it? Right? I went. Oh, and I just went, Satch. I'm so glad. Not so glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't me.
Well, it could have been anyone.
Yeah, it could have been anyone. And it could have easily been me or Kedge, because we're more klutzy.
We're the clowns.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's not even that. Do you know what? In 6 years, we've always done this podcast. We never, we just, do you know, we're in a restaurant today. We have water in glasses.
Yeah.
Mm. We usually have our own bottles. Bottle or, do you know
water,
what I mean?
Yeah, it's down on the floor. Right.
So if the bottle falls, it's fine. You're just going to break the laptop.
Yeah. Like, well, it won't even do that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just drop on it. Yeah. But.
Just
so anyway,
hopefully you're hearing this. That's the most important thing,
right? So now this is a podcast first. It's interesting. Actually, you know what? It's interesting. In a crisis scenario, who does what? Mm. In this crisis scenario, I have nothing to offer.
Yeah. Well,
Tommy just sat there.
I didn't even get
the food got delivered. Mm.
At the same time, when all the drama's going
Tommy
on,
Tommy is just
the paneer, the chicken, and the chips the food, turned up,
which is very nice. But I'm looking at Tommy going. Like, can you stop eating for a bit? Because I want to eat.
No, well, the fact is, you know when food comes out hot and fresh, I can't resist it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I know there was drama going on.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's best to leave it to you. And what's, sorry, I'm going to just say it, Satch.
Mm.
What's interesting is, Satch was like, yeah, I'll have a bit of chicken. You know, I'll have a bit of paneer. That's what we'll have. You know, we don't want anything too heavy while we're doing the podcast. Now the food's here, because in the MacBook, Satch is like, I don't want to eat.
Yeah.
You know,
I can understand that because I would be upset for him as well.
Exactly.
No, but you know when your dad gets in the mood?
Yeah, but I know.
I wouldn't eat. I would have eaten. I would have eaten now.
No, I don't think you would have.
Okay.
I don't think I ever lose my appetite. You know when people say, I got ill, I got the flu and I lost my appetite?
Mm.
I've never lost my appetite. I wish that happens. Even when
I'm
sick.
Not even during COVID?
No, I want to eat more.
Okay.
I'm all right eating.
But anyway, you know, because of tech and everything like that, and Kedge quickly thought of a great idea.
He's bigging himself.
Producer as ever, you know, we had to quickly think of plan B. Because otherwise we would have just come here for doing absolutely nothing.
I did do something, by the way. Did you see that I went on the phone?
Yes, yeah. I saw that.
Do you know who I rang?
Who?
I rang two podcast studios that are right around the corner from here.
Did you actually?
Yeah. Okay, London Podcast Studios, East London, and something else, the second one, I can't remember.
Oh, well done, Tommy.
They're open till midnight.
Oh.
Right? And I was like, okay, but they weren't answering, so that's why it rang through on both, because I think they're doing live podcasts.
Yeah.
And then it said, we might be doing a live recording, send us a message. And I thought, you know what? One was 0.2 miles away, one was 0.5.
Mm.
I thought, we could go there.
Yeah.
And record it. So that's my kind of way. I thought, screw it. We'll just pay the money, go into a studio and record it.
Mm.
But you guys were fixing and drying. But now we're recording this podcast and it's all going through what?
It's going through your iPhone now.
Right. So it's been recorded. So if we suddenly upload the wrong file from my phone, you might well have a few videos of me going live on the podcast. Like, what's that noise?
Yeah.
What's going on?
He's got all his scuba diving videos on there.
Careful.
Yeah.
Careful
while I airdrop you. But I will say the masala chips and paneer and chicken is going down a treat.
It's banging.
And I made Satch have one piece of chicken. I go, Satch, you got a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you wanted the nice.
Also, I'd like to add that you absolutely smashed the side salad that's come with the paneer, but you didn't smash the side salad that came with the chicken. So now I'm slightly side salad stuffed because.
I didn't think. But
it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Right. But this is, you know, like, you know, so for vegetarians,
you can have it if you want.
No, because it's
not contaminated.
No, it's contaminated.
I just want to, for him,
it would be.
One for the non veg crew, you know, like, just think about us.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know what?
Just think about us.
I'll tell you honestly, I didn't think.
It's a tough year.
But I love. I love red onion, like this, like a bit of red onion.
So do I, Tommy.
Yeah, no, I can, but look, there is still some there.
Yeah, but you had all the juicy bits.
Yeah, yeah, I did have the yeah, big bits of onion.
Yeah, smash the juicy bits.
But you know when you stack up that bit of red onion on top of the paneer, and then you get the of the onion.
Oh, it's beautiful.
With the
it's beautiful
fluffiness of the paneer.
It is beautiful.
But anyway, look, great to be here. Great to be in Bahara, East London. Please do check it out. These are good friends of ours, and it's a lovely, lovely restaurant. Really nice. Smack bang on Brick Lane.
Right in the middle.
E1.
I'm at the moment, I'm looking out the window, and I can see a massive billboard for Tinder.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I've never seen an advert.
An advert for Tinder.
Yeah.
And it says POV, when a date with bagels turned into Brick Lane fit checks. I don't know what that means.
I'm going to have to translate that for you.
It starts with a swipe. I know the swiping thing on Tinder. Mm. What does that mean, fit check?
I don't know. I've just never seen an advert for
fit check, obviously, is when you the garments that you're wearing. So yeah, everyone does, like, there's like a type of video that you do. It's called known as a fit check.
So
like, you know, like you it's known as like you're doing a fit check.
Like you're checking yourself out. How fit do I look?
Well, no, not how fit you look. Oh. The fit check is the clothing that you wear.
Does it fit him?
Oh, does it fit? Like physically?
No, not does it fit. Like how you like how you're dressed up. It's like, is it looking good?
Yeah. So yeah. How fit am I? So how fit like buff.
Like, oh yeah, like buff. Yeah. Not athletic. Yeah.
No. I mean, no. Like, looking fit.
Looking.
Yeah. But then that, I mean, when a date with bagels turned into Brick Lane fit checks. That doesn't make sense.
No, that don't make
so
sense.
So basically,
I think he's got the wrong explanation.
I think the video is
he's got the wrong.
What
explanation.
They're trying to do is that is no. So he was supposed to be a date with bagels.
Bagels, yeah. He came to Brick Lane to get bagels. By the way, Brick Lane's known for its bagels as well as curry.
Is it? Girl that he's met on Tinder? But then it's turned into a fit check because basically they're hugging each other and they're taking selfies of each other. Do you see what I mean? So it's got more from bagels to it was just a bagel, but now we're doing fit checks.
That's crap. I tell you what,
that is crap. It hits the target audience. Because the target audience knows what that means. I've had to translate this to you through subtitles via Netflix, and that's why it's taken long.
I would have written POV when a date with the biryani, because there's loads of Indian restaurants,
of course,
turns into riding the puna or something like that. Right. You know, like,
yeah.
I would have done that.
Yeah, I agree.
When a date with a biryani turns into meeting your Maharani.
Right.
You know, boom.
Bang. You're in.
I think
good for the audience.
But I think, again, I don't think that would be, I don't think it's aimed at that, the E1.
Fine. Yeah, they're going with bagels. Because there's one or two renowned bagel shops on Brick Lane.
Yeah?
But there's the bagel shop in Brick Lane is known, bro. Quick thing about this road. This is the road we come via on the way home. You know when you finish clubbing, and I live further out in East London, but this is E1. So this is central East London, and I'm further out in East London. I'm E18 that way, right? So you go via this way, come out of a club, get the cabbie to go stop off in Brick Lane, going to dive on in there, and they do like kosher sausage rolls. It's not pork, obviously.
Okay.
I think it's made of beef, actually. And then the sausage rolls, and they do egg mayonnaise bagels, smoked salmon cream cheese bagels. Mm. The egg mayonnaise bagel is phenomenal.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
And
it's
open all night?
Open till, 4 or 5 a.m. That probably
bagel
is all night.
Yeah, most
is.
Bagel places are 24 hours, you know?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, because they bake through the night. Yeah. So they have someone there, so they might as well open up. So, no, anyway, so that's where we are, right? Heartland, Curry Mile, East London,
and all that. And on the day of Lohri and Makar Sankrant, and you know, it feels good to be in
Did you have any Asian setting? Chicky today?
No. What? No.
Oh, is that another Tinder thing? Get your chickies.
Get your chickies. No, I didn't have any chickies.
Chicky girls?
No chicky girls. Because
I have no idea what this is.
Chicky is basically, what is it? Sesame seeds all stuck together.
You know the snaps.
I love that. Yeah,
yeah, sesame snaps.
My mum loves that.
You're meant to eat them today.
Yeah. Oh, wicked.
Yeah.
I wish I'd known that.
Make them. What is it? Sesame seeds.
With like honey or whatever.
All stuck together.
No, I love
jaggery.
That.
Jaggery.
Bit of jiggery. More Tinder stuff. Keep coming back to Tinder. Me and my mum, just the two of us, Mrs. was working, Dad was working. We're off.
Me and my mum are off today.
I went gym and then came back and then
you
went.
You took her to the gym?
No, I took her to the Godwara, the spiritual gym, bro. I said, Mum, Lordy, let's go. Because it's going to be crazy in the evenings, right? And I knew we were coming here to do the podcast. So went along. By the way, quick thing. So firstly, can I just say, Kej, I thought of you. We got there. And get this for a good deed.
Go on.
I'm lining up. I haven't eaten all morning. I've been to the gym. So now, about 12:30, I'm hank. I've gone upstairs. I've sat in the Godfather for a little while. So I've kind of done my little kind of sit down spiritual moment, right? For about half an hour or so. I thought, right, I look at my mum's in the women's section. Yeah. I'm on the other side. We look across the room. Yeah. And actually, I was worried. I thought, will she be able to see me if I give her the nod? I looked at her and I raised my eyebrows, nodded. She was like, let's go.
Let's bounce.
Right? And then we went downstairs and there was a little line of people. Loads of kids, by the way. Loads of kids coming from school. No, coming in as part of a school trip for Laurie. Mm. And there was loads of kids there that weren't eating the langur, but they had a little bag given to them for veggie food, like a little cheese sandwich and stuff. Oh. And they brought a big, big tub of chips out. So the kids were eating chips and sandwiches. Nice. So they were happy. And then some were eating proper roti and all that. But this guy was walking along with a walking stick and his tray of his food. He had his tea resting in one of the little, what do you call them, pockets of the tal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like that. And the tea spilling around in that little pocket. And I can see he's struggling. So I left the queue. I went, let me give you a hand. Walked him over to the table where he can sit. Sat him down. Yeah. Came back. 8-9 people are in front of me now. Yeah. They're going, I'm not going to go, well, excuse me, I was over there. Yeah. Next to my mum. My mum still carried on like a soldier, looking after herself. Clearly doesn't care about her son. But she stayed in the queue. Because I helped that guy, because I got delayed behind those people, when I got to the front, fresh makki di roti.
That's
karma.
You're good. You're
straight karma.
Straight in.
Yeah, don't worries, mate.
We helped someone.
Yep, I'll sort you out.
So I helped you,
I mean, I'll be honest, and I saw my mum come back for a fresh one. I'm like, excuse me, love.
Yeah, you didn't help.
Jog on.
She didn't help him.
No,
she didn't help him.
No, she did not help him. She helped herself to makki di roti. That's what she did. No, it's fine. And but I tell you what, I'm going to say it. I'm not a fan of a remotely cold makki di roti. It's got to come off hot. The tava like
that. Yeah, it's got to be hot.
Because then it's kind of got that flavor. Otherwise, it goes a bit hard. And
I agree. I don't like it hard.
No.
What about the roti?
It has to be a little bit soft. Floppy.
And
floppy,
this one was, and the butter melted straight onto it. Then there was saag, paneer, and dal. And beautiful. Yogurt.
Do you know what? I don't think I've had a makki di roti.
Have you not?
It's
got to be a good one. Yeah, though. I've had many a rubbish one, actually.
You're right. So have I.
And I was really up, because the first time I had it, it was a rubbish one.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, is this what it is?
And for years, I was never a fan. No, you just got to have it fresh.
But you got to go somewhere where it's good.
Yeah, but then, mind you, my mum made them at home in the week, last week, because she was getting ready for
it. Are they good?
Bruv, I tell you what it is good for. If you're like me, and I don't know what it is, as I'm getting older, I can't have wheat, can't have much red meat.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that just don't agree with me, man. Unless you make me feel okka. Do you have that word, okka?
No.
For uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah. I just feel, what's your word for uncomfortable? Like if someone's like just sitting there, it's like repeating on you, or it's sitting in your belly and you feel a heavy.
Oh, odgard.
Oh, is it?
Odgard is the action of like a.
That's like a dickard, though.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's like a dickard.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm thinking more like, you know, you're like, oh, that's just not gone down right. You know, like
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
It's
okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we made it.
Bold label.
But but no, it was hot. When it's hot off the tava, man, you can't go wrong. So I had the little feast. That was lovely. But get this. This little side note.
Can your mum make me one, by the way?
Yeah, she absolutely can. Yeah, and me and my mum, we made saag. I was on chopping duties.
I told you as well. I kind of hinted out, quite obviously, nothing like homemade saag, Tommy.
I put it on my Insta story a couple of days ago. Cade straight messaged me. He goes, ooh, I love homemade saag. I love saag. I went, oh, cool, no worries.
Cool story,
when we go to the restaurant.
Just palmed off to the restaurant.
When we go to the restaurant like tonight here, Bahara, I said, oh, you can get it there. Then he comes out with, yeah, but nothing beats homemade saag.
He still didn't get it.
I told my mum.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. She said, take some for Kedge.
Oh, Josie.
So I was supposed to, but then we're at home tonight. Kids homework, missus is working,
all that stuff.
Too much stress. I ran out the door and I was running late to come here. Yeah. And I live the nearest.
It's all happening tonight, mate.
Get this. I mean, okay, I'm going to move it on. I'm going to talk about the directness of brown people.
Mm.
Brown people, Asian people, can be very direct. Oh, tu mota ho gaya. You look weak.
The woke situation hasn't landed in India or the Asian community in England yet.
No.
We are not woke yet.
No, you're not sensitively like that.
No, it depends who. No, you're talking about older folk then.
Yeah, I think it's definitely older folk.
It's not like youngsters.
Yeah. So we're in there and we went to, boring side story, there was mad traffic on the A406. So the normal Godfather we go to, or have been going to for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, we couldn't go to. It was rammed that way. I said, oh, mum, we'll just go to the old one where she used to go, where they lived, we lived for like 20, 30 years. Mm. So we went back to that Godara. My mum's not been there for years now, right?
Right.
Because I always take her. And we walked in and the guy goes to her, oh, Amarjeet.
Amarjeet.
Her name.
Yeah, okay.
Tu jindi aale? You're still alive.
Oh, still alive.
Oh.
He goes, mata socha, oh, like, and like, I'm like, and I was like, mate.
mate.
Like, that's not, is that, that's.
Was he joking?
No.
Or?
He, and then
dead
he carried
serious.
On.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say dead serious, but yeah. He was dead.
He was
dead serious.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He wasn't coughing or anything. He was, right? And he goes, he just came out. I thought.
Who was this? What was this man? Like,
he was someone who worked at the, like does seva at right. the Godvara. Mm. So that's his. This is his turf. Like he's always there. Mm-hmm. And my mum.
How old roughly?
Oh.
78.
Probably just a little bit younger than my mum.
Okay.
So my mum, what's my mum? Early 70s. So.
Late 60s.
Yeah, about that.
I love that. Just straight up. Just say it. You still living, mate?
So when my mum reminded me, because I went, mum.
But you say it's a joke.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a joke. Because then he carried it on. He goes, man, I thought you, like, it's been so long since I've seen her. He goes, I thought, nah, she's
your mum should have given it some lyrics back. You know?
Well, they were chatting. But
your mum's not like that, but.
Yeah, but I was. She went, oh, yeah, you know, yeah. But then my mum, when I after. Questioned my mum about it, I was like, I said, who says stuff like that, mum?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, but what is? She goes, when we first moved to the area 30 odd years ago, and she used to work in a factory doing a sewing machine stuff, right? Mm. She goes, me and all the Asian women that worked there used to come around the corner here to the Godfather and have our lunch. Like literally when she was in her 40s.
So they've not been in touch.
They've known her, so he's known her for a long time, but this man's just thought, rah, I've not seen this woman for like.
I think it's where you don't know the geezer, she's got like, she knows him.
Connection.
So
of all the lines, you don't go, oh, wow, great to see you.
Yeah.
That's what we would
say. I haven't seen you in ages. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their way of saying that. Yeah. I know it's quite a bad way.
But this is what I mean.
That's the way.
Is it a bad way? Or is it just
not for them, maybe.
Maybe he's like, oh, yeah. And maybe he's really his one saying, good to see you.
It's more a case of, are you still around?
Yeah, good to see you alive and well. Oh, you're here, whatever.
So, I think you took a literal translation, which is...
Maybe. I was like, I don't know. All right, mate, watch yourself. Check yourself. Yeah, that's my mum.
So from one religious place to another religious place, that both of you have been so excited to talk about. And what we've got next on the agenda is that you guys want to talk about the Kumbh Mela starting in India. And I've never seen both of you so excited about it.
Well, for starters, it's been more over social media than I've ever noticed. Before.
Really?
Agree. So Kumbh Mela
hasn't got into my feed yet. Hasn't got into my album.
Oh, well, now the phones are listening, so it will be. But
okay,
this is how it started. It started with when I saw the thing, 4 crore people are going to attend.
Yeah.
And I went, hold on, crore? That's how many? Million? No, 100 million. What's a crore?
100,000.
So no, it's no, that's luck.
100 million.
100 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went,
400
what?
Million.
400 million people are attending.
Get your head around that, bro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's a big festival.
But then I also think...
Then it is over a month.
Yeah, okay. But
so it's a footfall.
But it's... Then and what I didn't realise, and I'm sorry for any... I mean, literally, no offence caused here, intended. I didn't realise it was a pilgrimage. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Mela, because it's called Mela. I thought it was just one time, one day gathering, everyone outdoors. And I remember in my vague memory, I remember thinking, oh, a million people attend, something like that.
Yeah.
But you're looking at... Bro, that's a third of India's
population.
It's
the largest human gathering on planet Earth.
Planet Earth, right. Yeah.
Forget.
It's like the Glastonbury for...
No, bro.
Oh, it's bigger than Glastonbury.
Glastonbury, how many people attend
Glastonbury?
No, but just how many people do? 300, 400,000?
Yeah, something like that.
Times it's 400, that by, yeah. Times it by a million.
A million, yeah.
That's unreal. That's so firstly, that came onto my kind of radar, right? That many people.
Who's on the main stage?
Yeah. I don't know if you can say stuff like, is it, I don't know.
Well, no. I mean, the thing is, it's a celebration of community, of commerce, of education, of religious discourses and saints and gatherings of monks, and there's entertainment. It's a bit of everything. It is like a Mela, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is a bit of everything. Everything goes on.
But you know what? I like crowds. As you know, it's actually...
Oh,
like,
I don't think you'd like this.
No, but hear me out. What I mean is by that is...
You want to go?
There is something to be said.
Because you don't have to pack much.
No, I believe in the energy of people, right? People have an energy. So when you get that many people together, and I'm not just saying this because it's you boys. When I went to Navratri, all the celebrations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when everyone's together, they're going round. Something about that swirling.
Makes you dizzy.
No. Something about that swirling motion, the earth going round, people going round, that there is a...
Tribal.
There is, yeah. Something happens. Bro.
Like in The Matrix, like when they're all dancing.
Like you're cooking up the energy. Yeah. Like you're stirring
I think you want to go.
I do want to go. I'd love to go.
You do want to go.
Oh, I don't know. I think from a distance for me.
The problem with Gummela for me would be, how do I consume it all? Like, I would want to know that I didn't miss anything.
Well, like I said, you don't have to pack much because obviously you don't need a lot of clothes on. So you're just bin bust.
Bro, look at me with my bald head. I'd fit straight on.
You would, yeah.
No, because you need the dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks?
Yeah, like
why has it become a bit?
All the Swami Babas have got
long hair.
The long
hair. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. And the big ganja pipes as well.
Yeah.
Oh, is it like that?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Solid, mate.
What? It's like a bit hippie-ish. Like
very.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be like...
No, what do you think it is?
Well, what? Sorry, I'm going to ask real dumb questions now.
What?
So what religion is it? Who?
Hinduism.
Yeah, but since when is Ganja part of Hinduism?
Yeah, well, it is. It's always been. It's always been. Yeah.
I never knew that side of it. I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah. I think
snacks will be quick thing I've learned
about the Mela, because I saw it pop up today randomly. I was reading something online. They built 150,000 toilets for it.
150,000?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Not enough.
It is not enough.
400 million. No, but then to be fair, look, that 400 million number is across a month. So.
But 100, yeah, but.
That is still.
Not enough.
That is still over 100 million people a day.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Mad, isn't it?
I wonder if there's any age restriction to it. You can't just take kids. I don't know.
But it's not like, you know, it's not like,
I mean,
you
like
go.
Who marshals this? What crowd control is there?
But that's what I mean. I don't think there is any of that. It's not like you go there with your ticket and you turn up at a gate and you get scanned.
No,
it's just you go to a place and it's all open.
I've got my wristband.
No, but there is no
wristband. Access all areas.
But you know what? I reckon Saj could go there and just start, like, set up his decks and just start DJing. I think you'd just be part of the Gummela.
It ain't one of them kind of festivals, I
bet. Man, and then the
and anyway, at the moment I can't because my laptop's broken.
Let us know when we can laugh at it. When are we allowed? But there's three things I've seen on social media about it. Number one, I saw that there's going to be more social media influencers at this Gummela than ever before.
We're in that era, though.
We're in that era completely now, where people are covering it and for their socials. And then because of that, I saw some like religious, swamis?
Swamis
who were, basically someone came a bit too close with their mic or their GoPro and he slapped it out of the way.
Oh, really?
And then he picked up his stick.
Yeah, some of them are a bit aggressive, you know.
He starts hitting them with a stick and stuff.
And I hope they do.
What? Yeah.
Because the last thing you want is these stupid influencers all trying to, make a buck out of it and trying to make out that
trying to cover it.
Shut up.
Right. Okay. Fine. Well,
go back to doing your Squid Games.
Yeah. That's what you would do, though, if you were there. You'd cover Squid Games. Like, that'd be more than
No, but stick with the Squid Game.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
I mean,
stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Right.
Stay in your lane.
So that was one thing. Then I saw that Steve Jobs' wife, obviously he's passed away, but his wife is like, she's converted to Hinduism, or she's like seen as an honorary Hindu as well now. And she's there as well. She's been a massive donator to like Indian parties as well when she does all this politics stuff. But she's there. Mrs. Apple is there, like getting down with Gummela.
Yeah.
And I thought that's a big look as
Interesting.
Well.
Interesting.
And then the other final thing I thought about Gummela was, it's obviously, do you know where it is and all that? Do you know about anything?
Something to do with the Ganges.
Yeah, the rivers, and they all go for a little dip in there, and it's the meeting of four or five rivers or something like that.
Okay, apparently, and I'm going to probably absolutely butcher this story.
Yeah. All right, get it
right. The gods had a fight.
Right.
Right? And what they were fighting over was a stone that carried in it the nectar to eternal life.
Right.
That nectar then spilt. Four drops landed in India.
Mm.
And those are the four spots that the Gummela rotates between.
Was that
every year it's done somewhere different.
It's every 4 years.
I think it moves. Well, okay. Well, then it moves to these.
No, it's every year.
Every year.
I don't think it is every year.
It's every 4 years, probably because of the four drops.
Yeah, yeah.
It probably goes to this place once every 4 years, and another place, another place, and it might not be as big or whatever there than it is here.
It kind of feels like, you know, that bits of nectar stone. Isn't that what Indiana Jones was after in the Temple of Doom?
Bro, see, when you say stuff like that, you're teeing us up to get
shocked. No, because it was something to do with that.
Like, yeah, but a lot of those great films have got like a bit of real history and all that too. So anyway, that's where it all comes from. So that's what you know, why they kind of go around. But then it's all to do with the planetary alignment and all that.
Mm.
Now, on top of that, all across the news right now, they're talking about how on the 25th of January of this month, all of the planets are going to line up and this thing's going to happen
I think you're going to see the most number of planets in the sky.
In the naturally as well, Jupiter and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, mate, this is not just... There's more to this. There's something to this. The whole Gummela planet stuff. What's going on?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, like what we know about the past, we don't actually know. I think there's still there's a lot in our own history, in our own culture.
I think that links back to how the world was formed. I didn't know last week, and that was why Kedge was going to India next month. But now I'm aware of why he's going.
Might have a little dip.
He's not going for a wedding, Tommy. I think it's pretty this obvious now, isn't it?
When are you going?
In Feb.
Right.
He's going
When does Gummela
I'm going for the...
No, yeah. It started, yeah.
I'm going for the headline.
He's going for the headline act.
The headline act. Maybe
he's
I
there
am.
At the end.
Maybe
he's
I am.
There at the end.
He's there, DJ Saketu.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Yes.
Yes.
Have a word.
No, but you are... But also, can I also... I need some explanation on we, everyone saw some Instagram stories of both of you two hanging out on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone saw some Instagram. You saw it.
Sitting at home,
mate, when two out of the three is out on the lash, people know what's been happening.
Well, hold on. You two had New Year's Eve together.
No, I know. But we explained ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
did we?
Well, actually, Satch, I was on my way to a comedy night in East London.
Hmm.
And Satch rung and went, Tommy, I've just driven past your new house.
Yeah.
Like we said. And I went, where are you going? And he was going to another actually brilliant restaurant run by friends of ours called Tandoor Chambers. And he goes, I'm going there for dinner with a mate. I was like, oh, no way. I said, well, you ran. I said, well, I'm doing a comedy night. I said, if you're going for dinner now, what time are you going to be done? He goes, I'll be done about 8-ish. I went, oh, that works out well.
Yeah.
Come along and join us. So then he came to the theatre where we were performing.
Love
and it.
It
was a bloody, can I say?
It was a good
night. It was a wicked lineup. Because it was all kind of live at the Apollo people.
Oh, nice.
Laura Smith, a guy called Jeff Innocent. Who's just a beast of a comedian, and many others.
Kay Kurd,
who was absolutely brilliant. Stephen Bailey, who's so brilliant.
Nabil Abdul Rashid,
the beast. Just a really solid line.
I think that's the best part of it, where you don't know what's going to happen. Saturday night, I went out.
Yeah.
I was on my way for dinner, and do you know what? Just me being me, I'm going past Tommy's house. I can't say to him, I'm not in your area. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just left him a voice note. I was like, Tommy, man, I'm around the corner.
And then that was it.
And that was it. It was just, he called me straight away.
So it's impromptu. I was like,
it was one of them ones.
So honestly, don't feel like it was a pre-organized thing.
No,
it's
fine. I was busy anyway.
And also earlier that day, there was Satch. We used to work together on the radio, kind of Satch, right? Yeah. And then earlier on that day, I met with, do you remember Sahel Sahi?
Sahel Sahi, the legend.
He was on the radio with us before. It was like, he was almost like the era before you were, you crossed over town.
I was there.
But he was there before.
I was insignificant though. At the time.
Well, some would argue... No, okay. No, you're right. You were rising through the ranks.
But from behind. Like, as
I beg your pardon?
As in, you know, like a background player.
You definitely done us all from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right, because you just joined the
BBC. It wasn't my time. I was still assessing the situation. The sitch.
If you were a footballer, who would you liken that to?
So at that time, I was more like, you know, Harry Kane on going on loan. So he was at Spurs, but he was going on loan to other places. And at that time, I was going on loan.
Yeah, you're right. You were like Rajan Pablo.
Yeah, Guggen. I was part of the Tommy Sandwich Show, then but he I was going Premier out on loan. League. Yeah, and then he burst onto the scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's when it all started exploding. The career started taking off.
Yeah.
And then,
I'm
sorry, can I might have done this already, but I remember when I was first because you know a presenter doesn't pick his team, right, or her team. So whoever you're working with, you're kind of the management pick it, right?
Yeah.
But you, have I told the story already in the podcast? But when you were presented to me, it was like you weren't. I mean, it wasn't like offering up a
like some sort of like Egyptian princess.
No, it was the editor who came along and he went. So he goes, you know, you've been working a little bit with Kedge. He goes, I want to say, you know, we're thinking about moving him over to produce your show full time.
Okay, yeah.
And I had my reservations. Right?
Of course he did.
I said, he can be a little bit feisty sometimes.
Prick.
I didn't say that. I said he can be a little bit particular. You are particular. Yes. You don't mind me saying that, right?
No, I don't mind it at all.
No, Benny.
It's because people can't handle it. That's the problem.
And don't forget, it's the BBC, right? So it's very...
People want an easy road in life.
It's very earthy, crunchy, respectful. Hey, everyone's opinion's valid. But Kenny's like, nah, bollocks, that's shit. That's crap. Don't do that to that extent.
Yeah, but you definitely became like that. We're at the BBC, so we've got to stop pretending that we're at the Bendu. You know what I mean? We've got to play at the level of the BBC,
right? So
and that's what
you were definitely at the level, and I think everyone else was a little bit more community radio, in a nicey, fluffy way.
I think all of the Asian division was at community level because also there was no one there who had any knowledge of any radio. Do you know what I mean? And we were led; it was the blind leading the blind. Let's just say how it is.
And you'd come from, you know, Club Asia, like commercial raw radio,
proper grafting and making learning. It. And actually, I was very lucky to have some really good, you know, sort of tutors and you know people who could help me and guide me.
Who were
not from the Asian community. Yep, do you see
perfect.
What I mean?
Yeah. And actually, you were already doing stuff on radio too, as well. By the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did Annika Rice.
Yeah.
But you. Oh, right, what is this? This is your life.
Yeah. But
this
you
is
were, your life. No, he was producing. Get over it. He was producing Annika Rice. He went from rice to biryani. That's what it is.
And there we go. Yeah, just and, cook better.
And so, but they went, oh, get back in. And I went, oh, well, I'm not so sure.
He's a knob.
And then he went, he's got loads of good ideas and he's really thought them through. I remember that's what they said about you.
He's thought them through.
He's mapped it out.
BBC line.
And he knows how to execute it and carry on. So anyway, sorry, I don't know how we got to that. How do we get to about Kedge's career?
So we were talking about basically how you guys went out and then.
Oh, yeah. Then we're hanging out with old school legends, all that. So yeah, I've had a lovely weekend with the lovely people I've ever worked with. Mm. So that was really nice.
You also bumped into some football fans.
Yeah. Well, what I was saying about football fans, though, and I briefly mentioned this, is that I talked about this on the podcast.
It's not like you to talk about football for a start.
You know what? I'm not going to talk about football. I'm going to talk about football fans.
Right.
So
can we talk about football, though, very quickly?
Go on.
We beat Arsenal.
Okay.
Right. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
And we made a lot of people unhappy.
Okay. That is exactly what I'm going to talk about.
Right.
So I didn't realise you'd beaten Arsenal because I don't watch football.
You don't really watch football.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't.
I'm telling you, a lot of people are glued to that game on Sunday.
It was a big game.
It was a big game.
It went to penalties or something?
Went to penalties, yeah.
Okay. Right. So this is what happened. I'm in the gym on Monday morning, and this one guy in particular comes in, and he's following, and this is in the open gym floor.
Asian?
He's I would say mixed race, black and white, right?
Yeah.
Balding. What I mean is he had a receding hairline.
Not old then.
Right. Yeah, so he's not young.
Not young, yeah.
You could be, like I started receding at 22, 23 years old.
Mid-40s.
So I'd say late 30s at the earliest, early mid-40s, right? Yeah. And he was following a friend of his, with doing the L on his forehead to his friend, going, loser, you're a loser. And obviously, it's loud, so we're all looking round.
What, in that exact time?
Like a baby, bro. Like Logan and my son would do with his friends at 7 or 8 years old.
I don't think he would
old.
Do that. I think he's a bit too cool.
Yeah, actually, you're right. He probably wouldn't do that. Mm. Or I'd look at him and I'd go, what are you doing? And then Logan's would just stop.
Yeah.
Right? So, but this guy's doing it. And he's going, and you know when someone's like, and tapping other people like, yeah, he was giving it all the Larry before, and now look, and kept doing it. And the guy's... like, you can see he's like half pissed off, right? Yeah. He's sort of walking away, like,
yeah. Was it his mate or not really?
Well, it was a mate.
No, but that's because he's an Arsenal fan.
So he was, because I was on
not because they lost, because he's an Arsenal fan.
Was that? Yeah, that's it. That's just how sad he is. Yeah. No, I'm on one of the benches and I'm looking around and I'm like, you know, you got to read the situation. The other guy's like, okay, all right, okay, done it. He carried it on, and I'm like, You know, I'm sorry. I'm so glad I'm not a football fan. Sometimes it's embarrassing. It's so cliche. It's so like boys and like, oh, lose. I was just like,
that's like
Kedge,
though. It's like
no, I'm not like that. And to be fair, actually, you know what it is?
He's there. He used to. He still does. He winds people up.
I love to give bants.
Yeah, you do. I know you do.
It was Man United versus Arsenal on Sunday. He messaged me and goes, I hope you beat them. Or he said something.
Yeah.
It's like, Buff, it's not even your team playing. What's got to do with you?
But like you said, there were a lot of eyes on him. But what I'm trying to say is that I do love to give bants, and I've always been, I love toying with the opposition. Even if, like, look, I know.
You're very good at it, though, as well. You're a good button pusher. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I love it. But I love, because the thing is, what you realise is that a lot of people have a lot of buttons, and it's very easy to press buttons. And what you realise is people start getting so wound up. But what I've noticed is that as we've got older, it's particularly the Asian guys, they've become even more so protective of their football teams. Yeah. They get so wound up so quickly, and then it starts becoming like they start attacking you personal and stuff like that, and all of this kind of stuff. And so what I've noticed is in WhatsApp groups now, I've now removed myself from any bans. I just don't get involved because I think the last time I wrote something, I do it in select groups.
VIP bants.
Yeah. He went from I don't do it in any groups to select groups.
No, select, like, there's a couple. Okay. Like, because I know there's good people in there who can take the bants. But basically, I've retracted from the Asian groups, because basically there's a couple of groups who Arsenal fans who I think because you know me, I'm relentless.
Yes.
If I'm going for it, I'm going for it.
Yes.
That's quite sad, isn't it?
And then because at the time you deserve it.
He's good. He's triggering.
I don't know why you need to go and like upset someone.
But that's the thing. Asian people take the heart and they get all upset about it. But then also, there's certain type of fans, like Arsenal fans, who can't actually take it when they're rubbish. Like, I am the first person to say, we were rubbish, Tottenham. And, you know, we have been very rubbish, but that's just the way it is. But you've got to admit that, right? It's okay to be rubbish.
Yeah.
But certain fans, and I'm going to say, but you know, all teams have this where they just don't want to admit they're rubbish.
No. Well, I
had one grown man say to me, Ked, you really need to get a life because you are obsessed.
Yeah. I think you are, though, a bit.
And I was like, wow. I was like, it's got to him so much, he had to directly tell me that. And I was just like, I was laughing so much. But then I thought, you know what? I don't think this guy's ready.
That is also what I've seen. Because, okay, so I'm very much, I'm on the wing watching you. And I remember even at the BBC, wind up other fans. I remember when Leicester won the Premier League. Were we there when that happened?
Yeah.
When Leicester won.
2017.
And when they won, all of those people took pleasure in telling you that as Leicester fans.
Yeah.
And then Ked was like, Jesus, all of a sudden become a Leicester fan. Yeah. Up until last season, you were like, this fan. Oh my. And so Ked would give it back like that. Like, oh my God, all of a sudden he's on the Leicester.
He worries more about other teams than his own.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the football banter world. But no,
I don't think it is. People have forgotten. It's and sad, it's fine. It's fine.
But can I say, it's such a bloke thing to do. No, there is nothing. Can I quickly just do a little bloke diss? And I'm not trying to. You know how like some guys will always cuss out guys to try and be friends with girls? I'm not doing that. Okay. Right? You know how like some guys will do that? And I go, oh, you know, guys are all like, and they're just trying to do it to. I was thinking about this the other day. All the wars, all the trouble, all the kind of grooming, all the control of coercive behaviour, all of, like I say, violence, street thuggery, nicking phones. There's no groups of women nicking phones on mopeds. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If I was a woman, I'd go, you know what? It ain't about black, white, brown, or you're from this background.
You're animals.
It's blokes. It's blokes. Blokes are the biggest problem in the world.
The letdown.
They are the biggest letdown.
Yeah.
And if you are genuinely, think about it. Honestly, put yourself in the shoes of a woman right now. You're going to go, how much better would the world be with a load of blokes taken out?
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of the brown load then.
No. Oh. I think we're different.
Let's go home.
I think, I honestly would say...
One bloke that we should be happy about and grateful that he was around was over the weekend as well, Tottenham were playing Tamworth in the FA Cup.
Tamworth?
Yeah, and Tottenham...
They've got a football team.
Yeah, they've got a football team. Yeah, it's in the lower league.
Birmingham, isn't it?
Near Birmingham. Birmingham.
Yeah, I know Tamworth. Yeah, it's North Birmingham.
So Tottenham had to go there. Midlands. And I was going for the team names. And in goal, Singh. Straight up Singh. And I was like,
no way.
I've never...
Spelled S-I-N-G.
S-I-N-G-H.
Oh, proper. Yeah.
Proper Singh.
First name, Jazz.
Oh.
Oh, Jazz
Singh. And for S. Yeah, no, yes. No, it was S.
Was it
and,
S?
And you know what? I was actually going, I hope he starts saving, and he saved a few shots.
Yeah, is he good?
And I started supporting him. And I thought, you know what? The Indian in me, the Desi in me, thought, yeah, come on.
You love because, that. You get very proud.
I just thought, hold on a minute. I've never seen like an Asian person like that play football.
Even though it was against your team?
Even though it was against my team. So
if your team went out, if your team went out, and you'd have been happy.
He was a hero in the previous round and saved them on penalties. And he was doing brilliant against Tottenham. Mm. So, you know, in the end, Tottenham scored, obviously, in extra time and all of this kind of stuff. 3 goals. But but he was brilliant. And he just had a baby girl or baby boy. Like, and he turned up for the football game.
Sick.
And then he must have tweeted something like, oh, you know, oh, love playing. It was a dream come true. And he had a picture of his baby, the baby's hand holding his hand. And then, obviously, him in goal. And Madison from Tottenham,
yeah,
quote tweeted him and going, mate, what a legend, all of this, bigging him up.
Oh, nice.
And all of that. And I thought, how nice.
The that is good.
But the fact that, you know, James Madison acknowledged a Desi footballer.
See,
we need more of that.
Did there. He bigged up Jazz Singh and brought it back to one of his own.
No, because Madison threw the spotlight on it. Otherwise, no one would have known. But all of a sudden, his followership has gone up. Everyone, you know, is interested, and that's what we need: more Desi people, Asian people, young Asians need to see there's Jazz Singh in goal.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, the chefs are leaving. Thank you, guys. Thank we won't you. Be long. Thank you very much, Bahara staff. Thank you. So
that's why.
You know, can I quickly just say what I think of Madison? What came to my mind now?
What?
Did you ever watch? You would never have watched it, Satch.
What?
And I even think you might be a little bit too young for it, Kedge, because I used to watch it with my older sisters.
Some girl program.
Moonlighting. Does that ring a bell?
What is that?
No.
I'm telling you now.
Is it rude?
No. Rude.
Sounds rude.
People of a certain age. If I go, some walk by night, some fly by day. If that was a
TV show?
It was Bruce Willis's TV show. It was where Bruce Willis made his name. Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
And Sybil's name in the program was Madison.
Oh.
Maddie. He used to call her Maddie in there. They were like a detective duo. Mm.
And it's safe to say none of our listeners know what that is.
I'll bet you they do. Please, hello at thebrownlow.com.
You're the elder statesman.
Please just email me. And I know
please
what moonlight.
Please write us a letter at Tommy
Sands. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Send a pigeon.
Send us a fax.
I'm telling you, moonlighting was so, I used to be so excited about watching because it was on at 10 o'clock at night and it was that show I got to watch with my sisters. Cheers, Moonlighting.
Cheers, I remember, but Moonlighting sounds dodge.
Making you
can I just say that I met somebody at work because obviously I have to chat to a lot of people from different PR companies and stuff like that. Mm. This week we had a lot of the WWE stars in the building. Yeah, because you know WWE is on Netflix now and you can see it and everywhere and all of this kind of stuff. And there's a few British wrestlers now in WWE
I don't watch it at all. But fine. I did see last week when it was on Netflix because it was a big deal.
It was a big one because Undertaker was there, Hulk Hogan was there. Hulk Hogan was booed out the stadium.
Yeah.
Because he's just, you know, he's aligned with Trump and all of this kind of stuff. He's trying to sell his dodgy beer.
All the old boys were there.
John Cena and The Rock and all of that kind of stuff. But we had this tag team who were from East London called Pretty Deadly. Ooh. They turned up.
They're from Brick Lane?
Round here somewhere, you know. One of them was a West Ham fan. And there's the female world champion. The American, first American champion of the Wrestling Federation, which was Chelsea Green. She turned up as well.
Right.
So you know, if you're wrestling fans, you'd be like, oh my God, Kedge met all these people. Honestly, I'm not a fan anymore, so I didn't really know, but they were very friendly.
Yeah.
But their PR lady.
Are they massive?
No, they weren't. Well, the two guys were pretty tall.
Right.
They weren't like ripped.
Right. I think
all of that steroid stuff stopped now.
A lot of them just look a bit normal now.
Yeah, they just look normal. Yeah, but they're
good athletes.
Yeah, and she was an athlete as well. You could tell that, you know, they were strong like that.
But when British Bulldog and all them lot were in it, like none of
with
that.
The, with the steroid stuff.
Yeah. Randy Savage and all of that.
Yeah. Nah. Oh, I do miss that. But anyway, so.
But they look weird. Like, as in, you know, like you could tell that.
Well, no, they didn't because that's what everyone looked like at the time. So you just thought, oh, this is normal because they look like He-Man figures. Top.
Yeah.
But their PR lady, who had been emailing me trying to figure out, you know, all of this, their visit and everything like that, her first name was spelled Chana.
Okay.
Jana.
Miria.
So I'm like, I'm going to have to see her and I'm going to have to speak to her. And how do I say this name, because all I'm thinking is, and I kept going, oh, I'm going to introduce myself as Batura. Yeah. Because, you know, it's just like, you've got to do, like, and I just couldn't keep a straight face. I went to meet and I was like, hi, I'm Kedge and I'm waiting for her. And she went, Shana. And I just went, Brata. Ah, and I'm
so it's Janna. Janna is her name.
Yeah.
Janna. Right? Yeah. And she pronounced it Shana.
Shana.
Which is another Desi. With
this name. And she has a body. Desi. And I was just confusing me. And I was like, you know, what an incredible name.
Shana.
Did you tell her that name before? No, not CH.
Did you tell her what it was? I have told her, but I didn't know.
He would have gone straight and goes, do you know your name means chickpeas? Yeah. And also it's also a brand of, but the way you pronounce it, it's a brand of paratas. Yeah.
But it's a strange name for a goalie.
There you go, it is a tin.
Yeah.
Give her.
No, I'd make her. I'd make her some chickpeas. Sure. Yeah, the Kedge special.
Stuff a parata.
You can make a parata.
But it was just funny.
You make a parata and a Janna.
Yeah. But good it combat. Was just—it was just one of those moments that I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
We would have loved it because we would have been all over that, and we would have wet ourselves over a name.
And I know I've said this before, but on that note, when I met Dua Lipa, and I went, oh, and this is before she was really big time. Yeah. She was coming into like a live act. Yeah, and I went, oh, do you know what Dua means? She goes, yes, I do. It means blessing. I went, cool.
Okay, that's the end of that one.
Yeah, literally. I thought, you know, when you think you're going to come up with the Desi knowledge, and I didn't. Absolutely didn't.
Speaking of something that gave me a bit of knowledge this week was about gaming, PlayStations in particular.
You and gaming?
Yeah, I'm not. You're not a gamer. I'm not a gamer. You're not a gamer. Tommy's not a gamer. Kedge is the gamer out of the three of us.
Game boy.
You want to know something's going to really upset you quickly, Kedge, about gaming?
Go on.
I've got the code for the new EA 2425 that I've had since the day it came out.
Yeah.
And I haven't put it onto the PS5.
What do you mean the code?
You know, you get a code when you get the game.
Yeah.
There's a you know, like you type in
the
purchase code
and
you download the game. That's your kind of verifying.
Oh, like that, yes. Yeah. You haven't downloaded the game yet.
And it's just...
What's the game?
Oh, so I thought it was EA.
FC 25.
EA, the football. You know,
FIFA.
What was
FIFA? It's not FIFA anymore.
Just say FIFA. It's not FIFA anymore.
But there is, I think FIFA does exist. Because EA... FIFA does exist. I think that as a game still sort of does exist, but everyone knows
they split
that.
Basically. Is it FIFA?
EAFC 20.
Is it what FIFA was?
Yes.
Okay.
So and that
FC 25.
In what? In three? It's taken me 3 months. So yeah, I've drifted off gaming. But
see, now this is where it gets interesting. So PlayStation actually came out this week and they said they're going to develop something where you're going to be able to smell what you're seeing on the TV while you're playing a game.
Wow.
So hold on. So on that note, if I was playing the football game and I slid tackle,
you might have got a bit of grass.
You could smell
or like the being,
or imagine or like, you know,
all the pies or something being in
East London
in,
yeah, oh, in the God, stadium. The Balti pie.
Yeah.
That would be because you know when they do that opening shot of the game, like welcome to Old Trafford or welcome to and the grass is being cut. You could literally
you could maybe just start pumping this out.
But then I was thinking about it. All the other games, obviously I used to play mostly it was football games, I didn't really play it. That and a bit of GTA. So then I'm thinking, what, so you'll be able to smell Miami when you're driving around like...
Well, if Grand Theft Auto was in India, imagine that. And you're driving past and you can smell Bambaji stalls and Barney Bully stalls, that would be quite fun, wouldn't it? And just cow dung everywhere.
Or human.
Yeah, all that as well.
Hold a minute. So what, it's coming out the console?
Apparently so.
Well, then you need...
That's a lot of chemicals as well.
I don't understand how do you recreate?
I don't know. They're just working on it. They said they're whatever they're going to do is going to be an addition to the PlayStation 5, or it's going to be on the next.
They probably announced this at this exhibition that's going on. CES exhibition, the technology.
It's in Vegas, isn't it?
CES is now, and they're saying
that that's what the future of gaming is going to be. So say then I thought about it. And I was just like, oh, that'd be even better if it was like for TV. So now you know you're watching cooking programs and stuff.
Yeah,
you can actually smell
that would be really important.
Smell-o-vision was a thing. I remember them talking about smell. Smelly vision, because it was like television and all that. That was a thing years ago, and they even tried it out in
scratch and sniff. They were brilliant.
No, but that was a
scratch and sniff Snickers.
That was just the dirty magazine you used to read. You weren't supposed to scratch.
Mate, if you did well at school, you got a scratch and sniff sticker.
Yeah.
Is it?
Come on. They were brilliant.
Scratch and sniff. That was mad.
That was a mad thing. You just stick this on and you just scratch it, and then it smells really nice.
You're scratching the sticker.
I swear, you know, because we used to buy FHM magazine back in the day.
Was that scratch and sniff?
You could do that with the aftershaves.
Yeah.
You could scratch the page.
you could scratch the page. Oh, my God.
Smell the aftershave.
That was epic. Yeah,
the scratching would trigger the smell to be released. But
some of them had a flap that you could just open up.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, no, that was, again, we're back to the other magazine.
You didn't say FHM.
Can you imagine, Hodgie, on that note, can you imagine playing Street Fighter and Chun-Li does a spinning bird kick? Yeah. What do you smell then?
Wow.
She's upside down, spinning bird. Like, what?
Blanka would just stink. Oh. He just looks like an animal that just
smell
stinks.
Like static electricity.
Yeah. And I think Ryu Raiden. Sweats a lot as well.
Yeah, he'd be. Mm. No.
Dalsim will smell of palm budgie.
Can I say this? I think we can say this. Apparently, North Asian people don't smell of sweat.
Chinese people do not smell of sweat.
No, I don't. I'm telling you.
You're telling me Bruce Lee didn't sweat? Of course he did.
No,
he was,
I didn't say he didn't sweat. They sweat. They don't smell. Their sweat don't smell.
No, I don't know. We ain't done.
I think I'm from the
that.
North Asian part.
No, you're not. You stink.
I don't stink.
I don't.
I ran the marathon. I wasn't sweating.
No, that's different if you don't sweat. Because you look at you, you're so skinny. There's nothing in you.
No, but I don't stink like that. Like, you know, like some people, they just have to run around for 10 minutes and they're smelling.
No, I don't think.
The back is going.
I don't think you're the person that can say that I don't stink. Someone else has to.
So I saw a TikTok of this actually. It was a white girl who was going out with a Chinese guy. She went and he's like, he's out of breath, he's all sweaty, and she goes, "This is my boyfriend," says his name, whatever. She goes, "Oh," she goes, "he's just coming from a workout," and he's like, What are you doing?" He's like, you know, he's looking at her like, what is this about? She goes, "Look at this." Mm. She lifted up his arm, she put her face right in his armpit, and she went,
"No, but that's different, isn't it? If you're like going out and then maybe you're into their armpit."
No, but she was going, he doesn't smell. And then, I'll be honest, I tested it on my Chinese mate, Darren, and I went, "Darren, what's that?" He goes,
"You smell his armpit."
No, I went, and actually, Darren has never smelled a sweat. And he works out hard. He's like, does all the Muay Thai fighting.
So maybe you have done some research. I don't know.
But I'm saying there's something in their genes.
Well, next time, both of you can have a little smell of me and then we can figure this out.
I ain't smelling
you. You're smelling first?
No.
You're smelling first. Let me know what it's like, Sash.
Right.
But no, I like this, by the way. I
think it's the future. You know, let's see what happens.
I think it'll come to the phone first.
Oh, really?
I've got a feeling.
Yeah.
I think it'll come to the phone first, right, if it's going to happen. The glasses that they announced by one company, I think it's Samsung, they have announced these glasses. They look incredible. Oh, I see. Yes.
Big up Samsung.
It's basically real-time AI. So whenever, wherever you are in the room, like let's say if you start looking at a presentation, it will start picking up that all the points and it will start summarizing for you. And then if someone asks you a question, it will be able to answer. It will give you all the information in your screen that no one else can see, and then you can just regurgitate it.
So someone goes, "What are you talking about, Ked, you idiot? This sounds like a crap TV show that you recommended from a critic." Well, actually, it was directing.
Exactly.
So it's like a live
phones
AI.
Phones kind of do that now, though, already anyway.
Yeah, but this is like no one will be able to see this.
See it, fair enough.
That is pretty slick.
There you go. Things you've learned.
Come on in.
Nicely into things we learned. What have you learned?
Can I go first? Do you want to go first? No. Shall I?
You can go first.
All right. The thing I learned was, I'm an EastEnders fan. I'm not a Corrie person at all. But I know a lot of people do watch Corrie. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
The thing I learned, and this kind of blew me away this week, is if you watch one episode of Corrie every day, starting from today, it take you 31 years.
Wow.
If you watch it back to back, everything that's ever
one
been
episode,
made.
One episode from today, 31 years.
So, okay, so if you went prison, if you got like a life sentence.
And you watch one.
You could just watch Corrie back to back.
One a day.
What a waste of time.
31 years.
So, yeah.
That's how long it's been.
Have you ever met an Asian who watches Coronation Street?
Yeah, no, I actually do know a lot of
people. Really?
Yeah.
I've never met anyone.
Yeah.
I've never met anyone.
It's 11,460 episodes.
Okay.
Man. Okay, my one is Indian women.
Yeah.
Oh,
Indian.
What have
women.
You learned about Indian women?
They don't smell.
Tell everyone, please share this knowledge.
Indian women don't smell. They're a bunch of ungrateful. Indian women hold 11% of the world's gold. Right, which is more than the top five countries in the world. Oh. So basically, Indian women have got more.
Congratulations.
Own more gold than the top five countries. That have gold on the planet.
Wow.
That's ain't
a lot
that
of
mad?
Gold. That's a
I
lot
think
of gold.
We've had that one before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Really? You've had that one?
Yeah. I think I did it.
I think Saj did.
Mm.
I've got another one, but it's going to come back to me in a second because I remember I had two.
My one is, I'm going to keep it really short. Because I got a few messages last week saying that their brains were not being able to process what I was trying to explain last week on things we've learned. So I'm going to keep it very simple and easy for people. Australia is moving 7 centimetres north every year. Therefore, it is the fastest moving continental landmass in the world.
What, the whole country's moving?
The whole continent.
The whole continent.
You said Australia or Australasia?
Australia. Which is the whole thing.
The country, yeah. He says not the continent then. He said country. I'm just getting it clear.
Yeah, that is a bit dubious, Kedge.
Australia.
Australia.
The country, not the continent.
Well, it's the continental... Well, it is...
this is where... You know what?
It is a continent.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there any other little bits around it?
I'm surprised by how you guys are questioning this. I've been fooled by the dumbness.
Australasia was the continent.
Australasia is the continent. Australia is a country.
No. Australia is a continent.
On its own?
Yes.
I'll fact check that.
I'm
not sure about that.
Australia, well, you can't do it on Meta because they don't do fact checking anymore.
But hold on. What I don't get is, like, this is another dumb question. Aren't the countries sort of all stuck to something underneath the country?
Tectonic plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
But they move. So it is moving.
It's just Australia's one big floater.
Because you know we were all stuck together.
And also,
there's 9 countries in Australasia.
Yeah. And is Australia one of those countries?
Of course it is, but there's other countries.
Yeah, like New Zealand and all of that. all the Samoan Islands and stuff like that. Australasia.
He first went continent, then he went country. He can't make his mind up.
No, but Australia is a country, obviously, but in terms of the continental land mass in the world, it's all moving 7 centimetres north. Anyway, I thought I'd keep it simple.
Continent or country?
Australia, the country.
And we'll just leave that one there.
Yeah. We'll just keep it simple.
He kept it really simple for us thick people by messing himself.
We'll just leave it there.
And by the way, you know what it is? The other fact that I had is in my phone, but my phone is being used to record the podcast now because somebody spilled water on it. I can't remember what it was. But one thing I genuinely did learn coming to Bahara Restaurant, which is where we are today, in Brick Lane, brand new restaurant. Please come and check it out. What sikkar is?
What's sikkar? Tere zikr.
Vinegar.
Oh.
Because I mean, what's that? Because he brought these lovely little red, little mini onions over. And he went sikkar pias or sikkar, whatever his word was for onions.
Right.
Mm. I said, what are you saying? He goes sikkar, he goes vinegar. Oh. So sikkar is vinegar. And I think I vaguely remember about hearing that once before, but I've never
heard that.
Okay.
So
he's asking if I had the sticker book.
Yeah, it's the sticker. Panini? Sikkar. Sticker, put your stickers in there. Listen, these guys have been very kindly hovering around the restaurant, just waiting for us because it's very late now because we were late starting. Mm. So thank you very much to the lovely staff here. We are now done. I appreciate you guys waiting for us and we are going to wrap things up. So please pass on our thanks to the whole team. Thank you.
And don't forget to check out the competition on our Instagram.
Yes, page. It's already there. The competition's already there. We've done it from the future. There you go. Right. Check out a competition. Genuinely, we're going to give away 2 tickets to come and see Alka Yagnik, Alisha Chinoy, Kavita Krishnamurti, and I always
Anuradha
forget the
Podwal.
Anuradha Podwal. That's right. I mean, I'm talking about some big banger songs. I think the concerts have sold out. Resorts World in Birmingham on the 25th and Wembley Arena on the 26th. Mm. I have the privilege of hosting that. I love it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I flipping love it. 11,000 people at Wembley Arena, and I'm the first one on stage.
Mm. Wow.
Come on, bro. That's good, isn't it?
Come on.
I have to pinch myself, and I'm going to go, that's a privilege, and I very much
Kedge
looking
can
forward
pinch
to it.
You.
Yeah, you're going to be there with us on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So we'll be backstage. So if you are a winner, then. What's going on here? I have to stop and tell everybody what's going on. One of the staff members is massaging the other staff member right now. That's both pyardina. Look at that. Hi, tail lakya. Chit tail lakya, ma? Get the sarunda tail. Let's do it properly. Look at that. Bro, you don't give me massages.
Kedge will give you a massage.
Kedge can't give massages. Kedge doesn't like massages being done to him.
Yeah.
And you'd push your bones in, your fingers into it.
Exactly.
Anyway, do check out the competition. It's going to be a great concert. If there are tickets left, get yourself there. But it's going to be jam-packed and it's going to be just full-on classics. Cannot wait. We'll see you there. We're going to be giving away tickets. That's right. We're the only people giving away tickets.
It's true.
There is no other competition on no other platform to win tickets to this to this massive concert in the UK. So very proud to be doing that, along with Grace Entertainment. If you want to know more about it, Grace Entertainment Events, look them up and look up the concert, which is called the Queen's Rewind Tour, I think, or Queen's Tour. Okay, until next week.
Laters.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,